I see what you did there. Panama. I get it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Nice, Brian.
So, today, if you read the papers and the internets and everything, it's the Panama Papers, as they're known, could end up becoming a very, 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 very big deal in terms of stability of international relations. You've already seen one guy, the Prime Minister of Iceland, already say, look, I'm going to have to leave.
He resigned.
I have no idea what an Icelandic accent would even sound like.
I don't know
if
that was even close, but...
Yeah, we're going to have to leave. Something, I think a little closer
sort of
to that.
Canadian, Scandinavian, a little bit. Scandinavian.
Sort of Scandinavian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You have 22,000 people protesting in the main square there, and the population of Iceland is only 330,000. So you have people seriously upset about this, and he stepped aside.
And this is a really interesting story as it's developing, because what these papers indicate is how some very, very rich, very powerful, very influential people are skirting around the tax laws in their own nation to hide money all over the world.
And in and of itself, it isn't always illegal. It's just in many cases, such as Putin and this Prime Minister of Iceland, they were people who actively spoke out about the wealth in their country going overseas and being hidden, and they campaign on those types of issues and speak openly about them. And that's what's causing the problems.
David K. Johnston is a Pulitzer Prize winner and George Polk Award winner for his work. And he's Panama Papers, The Tip of the Iceberg is his story today in the Daily Beast. And thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Johnston. Appreciate it.
It's fascinating.
Let's
glad to be here, Rod, Anna.
Let's talk a little bit about Putin specifically here, because when these papers, basically, this was a multi-terabit file that got downloaded with everybody's financial information on it, right?
11.5 million documents on everything this Panamanian law firm did for 39 years, right up to December 31st.
Wow. And so do we have any sense of how this happened? Is this some...
Oh, sure. I mean, we know. Yeah, sure. Somebody who had access to the data leaked it to a reporter in Germany who has written about these things. We're going to see more leaks like this in the future.
But is this a white knight kind of thing, or is this somebody who wants, you know, the transparency type?
I don't know. I don't know what the motives of the person who gave the documents are, but who cares? What we care about is the what the documents show. And remember, these documents, as my Daily Beast column points out, are a window into one room, the room of one law firm, in a worldwide mansion of corruption in which there are many law firms and which lead back to the biggest banks in the country, the white shoe law firms in Chicago, in New York, in London, who facilitate this. And then when you get to the part that's illegal, because it isn't just tax cheating, a lot of this is people stealing money from the governments that they run. It is people hiding money from their estranged spouses. It is drug lords. And as my Daily Beast column points out, it is helping terrorists with American laws that enable hiding of transactions. Those are the issues that we should be focused on about what these tell us, and we should recognize we're just looking at one room in a very large, corrupt mansion.
So there's many more to be discovered, and potentially will be, you would think. Putin was not directly named. Isn't that right? It was the people around him, his close friends.
The people who are his alter egos were, his boyhood friend. And Putin is one of the wealthiest people in the world. He's having a $1 billion house, a palace built for him near the Black Sea. And one of the things that we should be worried about is when governments steal from their people and put money offshore, they are weakening the social stability of those countries. And in Putin's case, you know, he's been trying to maintain control by being very bellicose and threatening to other countries around him.
Yeah.
I'm also sure that he's happy that the head of the Ukrainian government's in the file, since he doesn't care for him.
Right, exactly.
You too.
This all goes back to this one law firm, as you point out, in Panama, that seems to be doing a lot of this trafficking. Do we have a sense of were they at the very top of the pyramid for this kind of business? And why Panama?
No, No. And there are not very many Americans, apparently, in these files. And the reason probably is that we have a bilateral agreement with the Panamanians. But the head of another big Panama law firm that does this stuff, and the former Panamanian ambassador to the U.S., Eduardo Morgan, has for years been going around pointing out that three American states, Delaware, Nevada, and Wyoming, allow people to secretly own corporations, and this facilitates all sorts of criminal conduct, and it is a huge boon to terrorists. And Congress has the power to stop this. I first wrote about this stuff more than 40 years ago, and Congress has done nothing to stop it when it's not hard to stop.
I don't know if you saw it. There's a video that's gone viral today of Bernie Sanders on the House floor in 2011, before the Panama Free Trade Agreement was passed, speaking out about this very thing, that corporations and Americans, wealthy Americans, will find it easier to evade U.S. taxes by stashing their cash offshore, with the Panama Free Trade Agreement, basically warning of what could happen, and now is speaking out to say, of course, he's running for president, that, look, I was right. It was something that Obama and then Secretary of State Clinton both supported. Are they pointing at this as one of the reasons why we're not seeing the American names, which you kind of suspected we would all see?
Well, as I said, it depends on who you are and what country you want to do business with and why. And there are better opportunities for America using law firms in Singapore, the Cayman Islands, et cetera, than probably in Panama because of our bilateral tax agreement with them. But, you know, there's a worldwide agreement to share information to catch these sort of folks. Mm-hmm. And two countries that haven't signed it, almost everybody signed it. You know who they are? Hmm. America and Panama.
Hmm.
So. America and Panama. And one of the things I point out in my Daily Beast column is that back in 2004, when American soldiers were dying in Iraq and Afghanistan, the IRS, which is our premier government agency to find these kinds of deals, and they're very good at it, asked for $12 million more to hunt for Osama bin Laden's money, and the Bush White House killed it. And I wrote a story, I was at the New York Times then, in which the White House and the Treasury Department, on the record, said that $12 million, I mean, that's nothing to the federal government, right? $12 million is nothing to the federal government, which operates in trillions of dollars, that it was too much of a burden for the American taxpayer to bear. They wouldn't spend $12 million to hunt for Osama bin Laden's and Hezbollah's and some other group's money.
What is your suspicion there?
Yeah, what do you
point out about this and report it?
What is your suspicion there?
The techniques that catch people like that also catch very wealthy Americans who are tax cheats, and they are likely to include big donors close to those in power in both parties.
All right. So back to Putin here for a second, because there was another. Yeah. The Times had a story this weekend about one of the guys that was on the
Times or the New York Times.
The New York Times had a story about a guy who was. An oligarch in Russia was part of the Gazprom media machine that they had. That's their energy consortium. Mm-hmm. And he sort of fell on hard times with the Putin administration, and he moves out to the United States, setting up his life in the United States, and is found dead in a hotel room, I believe, in Los Angeles, under mysterious circumstances. And there have been other stories about guys who were wealthy people in Russia who've moved to the United States who, you know, have died mysteriously. Other things have happened to them.
When you have a kleptocrat who is a dictator, as we have in Russia with Mr. Putin, it's not surprising that people who, for whatever reason, run afoul of him go from being very wealthy to having their money disappear and then get killed. And I don't think there have been so many of these now, I don't think that it's credible for the Kremlin to claim that there's no connection here. People who've spoken out against Putin in Russia often get shot, poisoned with plutonium, beaten to death, and otherwise killed. And that's what happens in a kleptocracy. That's why it is so vitally important in this country that we have independent courts and that we have laws that protect your property and define very clearly your rights, and that we all respect lawful behavior.
There's also a story about the Chinese press censors are now banning access to any of the reports, anything to do with the Panama Papers.
Right.
Are there some Chinese officials who might be... Are they mentioned in the Panama Papers?
There are some, but what's going on in China is that, remember, that's That's the nine thugs who run China. They're not elected. They're the Communist Party leaders. And it's been a change of administration. The Bloomberg News Service and then the New York Times did big projects about corruption in China and showed how the names of high-level officials and their wives, daughters, mistresses, children funneling money out of the country. And China cracked down on those news organizations. The new administration came in and was originally reported on as being reformist, but in fact what it appears that they are doing is going after their political enemies who are corrupt and looking the other way on their friends, not unlike police, you know, who make a name for themselves shutting down, for example, gambling when they're really shutting down the competition that isn't paying them off.
They're shutting down one side of the equation, yeah.
That's right, yeah. And bolstering their political position. But we will see more leaks like this in the future on this and other things, because once you digitize data, somebody who's determined can, in fact, copy it, and we should. We should have transparency here. We should know if our elected leaders are stealing from us. We should know if people are evading the law by not paying their taxes. We should know where the drug lords are sending their money, and we certainly shouldn't have state governments like Delaware, Nevada, and Wyoming passing laws that completely shield people who do this, whether they're drug dealers, people not trying to pay their child support, or terrorists, from scrutiny by government. And Congress, under the Commerce Clause to regulate interstate commerce, absolutely has the power to stop this stuff and do many other things. But as I said, it's been more than 40 years since I first wrote about this stuff, and they've hardly done anything of consequence.
David K. Johnston has written in the Daily Beast today, the Panama Papers, tip of the iceberg as Congress aids tax cheats and terrorists. And this is basically we're digesting for you orally what many of the things that are in this column today. But I will ask you this, more to come?
Well, they're publishing pieces. The consortium they're publishing pieces this week, and I know many of these people. I'm the immediate past president of our National Association of Investigative Reporters. They're really good people. These are really well-done pieces. If you go to the Internet and look at them with graphics and drawings to make it sensible to people, and this was a collaboration of more than 100 journalists all over the world who spent a year. Once you get the documents, that's just the first thing. Now you have to go say, well, how is this person connected to that? What is this entity? People sometimes have similar names. There's an enormous amount of work that went into this, and all of it looks to me, from almost 50 years of investigative reporting, to be absolutely first-rate work.
David, thank you very much. Appreciate
your
time, sir.
Oh.
David
thank
K. Johnston.
You, Ronan.
Read on the Daily Beast today his story. Pretty interesting stuff.
And it helped explain a lot. It seems so. It was such a wonky story when it first came out. 11 million documents, but what did it mean? And I think we're just starting to figure it out.